कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना थीरा बनचारी यमुना थीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना थीरापनचारी यमुना थीरापनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
ज्ञान निरंदस्य
Jnananjana chalakaya chakshuru militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru Sri Chuta Patakamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Harijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakambitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatadubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatyate Shatarane I would like to first of all offer my eternal gratitude to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, for it is by His compassion, sacrifice and divine will that we are here together today. Srila Prabhupada left India August 13th, 1965. With a dream. He had a box of books, 40 rupees, the order of his spiritual master, faith in the power of the holy name, and a dream that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu's prophecy would be fulfilled. And devotees of all racial, ethnic, religious sectors could come together to encourage one another toward the perfection of life, prema bhakti, to through the path of devotional service and the chanting of God's names. His compassion is the foundation of the Hare Krishna movement, and it will forever be as such. And for each of us, whatever our particular position may be, whatever role we may be serving in, our empowerment, our protection, and our inspiration will be through keeping connection to that foundation, through our gratitude for Srila Prabhupada's compassion and our willingness to abide by his teachings. Although Srila Prabhupada did what no other Vaishnava has done in history, take the pure unadulterated message of Bhagavad Gita and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the world, he gave all credit to his guru and the path of Sri Parampara. Although he had descended from Goloka, still, not only was he teaching us, but from the core of his heart, he was feeling that complete dependence on Krishna, whose mercy flows through the disciplic succession. And this we find to be the eternal principle throughout Vaishnav history. A Vaishnav must feel him or herself to be only qualified, the only qualification, the blessings and the mercy of our superiors. As soon as we feel ourselves to be a superior, we are disconnected. Srimad Bhagavatam was first, let us say, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in Naimisharanya. The sages inquired from Suta Goswami, what really is the goal of life? What really is the essence of all religion? Because you have heard from superior personalities, and because you are following carefully what they have spoken, you are qualified to enlighten us and the whole world. This is very important. There were many great scholars, powerful ascetics, yogis who were assembled there. But the sages selected Suta Goswami because of these qualifications that he humbly heard from his superiors. He was gentle, he was kind, and he was practicing what he has heard. Sutta Goswami begins the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam by first offering his obeisances to Shukadev Goswami. Who he explains, I offer my obeisances first to Shukadev Goswami, who heard from his father, Srila Vyasadeva, and who has assimilated, realized, and practiced those teachings. Then he offers obeisances to the great acharyas, to Lord Narayan, to Nara Narayan Rishi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to Srila Vyasadeva, Goddess Saraswati, who gives us the power to speak. Sutta Goswami, from the very beginning, expresses his heart that it's only by the mercy of Saraswati I can speak. It's only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, my Guru Sukadev Goswami, and the parampara of persons who have preserved this knowledge. That I can serve you. And Srila Prabhupada, in each of his lectures on these verses, he begins by saying, this is disciplic succession. Who was Sutta Goswami's father? A very famous sage named Romaharshan Sutta. Now often we say, like father, like son. This is not exactly like that. Let us analyze what is the difference between Romaharshan Sutta and Sutta Goswami, his son. Romaharshan Sutta was also in Naimasharanya. And he was on the same seat as his son later was, Sutta Goswami, to speak to the sages. As Romaharshan Sutta was about to speak, Lord Sri Balaramji entered the assembly. And all the yogis and saints stood up with folded palms to offer their respects to Lord Balaram. But Romaharshan Sutta did not stand up. He did not even bow his head. Why should he? He's the speaker. Amongst all the thousands of sages, he was the most qualified to speak. Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His partial manifestation is Paramatma, who knows our intention. He understood. Romaharshan Sutta considers that he is learned and qualified. Therefore, he has no qualification to speak. Simplicity, humility are the first attributes that must be developed in order to access divine grace. Divine grace may be coming. We may receive knowledge, and it may go into, we could memorize it very nicely and even speak it very nicely. But it cannot enter the heart or really affect the hearts of others. Unless this principle is followed. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevi. We must be submissive. We must be humble. We must not think we know. And then we must be eager to serve. Balaram wanted to set an example. And it was a strong example. Because false pride is the ruination of religious principles. Due to the false ego, on the basis of scholarship, charisma, power, real dharma is corrupted. Especially when those qualities are in leaders. So Balaram could have just said, you're puffed up. Get off the Vyasasa. But if he said that, it wouldn't be a statement that would be taken seriously 5,000 years later. Yes? He wanted to show how serious this matter really is. He chastised Romaharsha. Although you are a great scholar of Vedas, you are directly one of the favorite disciples of Vyasadeva. That's very prestigious. Direct student of Vyasadeva. We're reading Vyasadeva's writings 5,000 years later. He was at the feet of Vyasadeva directly for years, hearing from him, trained by him, taught by him. And although you know so well the Vedas, the Puranas, the Itihastas, the histories, the philosophies, the Dharma Shastras, still, you have no good qualifications. You do not have good character because you are not humble. Because you think yourself the doer. Therefore, all of your so-called good qualities and all your so-called words and speeches are nothing more than the decorations on an actor on stage. They are empty, hollow, and useless. And I have come to the world to destroy such hypocrisy. Then he picked up a piece of grass and Romaharsha and Sutta dropped dead right on the Vyasasan. Very dramatic Bhagavatam class. The sages, they said to Balaram, whatever you do is perfect. But still, we just gave him the blessing that he would live a long life and speak to us. Balaram could have brought him back to life. They said, no, no, no. So Balaram said, I will transfer the same blessing that you gave to him to his son. Because a father lives through the son. Sutta Goswami was a disciple of Shukadev Goswami, a disciple of Vyasadeva. He sat at his lotus feet for 7 days, hearing him speak to Maharaj Parikshit. This is very interesting. It gives all of us so much hope. Sometimes we think the guru must directly tell me what I'm supposed to do. Otherwise, we really don't take it seriously. Shukadev Goswami, the whole 7 days, gave class to Maharaj Parikshit. Suta Goswami was just one of the thousands of people sitting there listening. And he wasn't one of the prominent people there. Nobody even knew who he was yet. He hadn't spoken the Bhagavatam. He was just little Suta Goswami, son of Roma Harshan, who Balaram killed. Vyasadeva was there, Narada Muni was there, Bhardwaj Muni was there, Gautam Rishi was there, Parasara Muni was there, Vishwamitra Muni, Vashishta Muni, all these big powerful acharyas were assembled. We don't find Suta Goswami even asking any questions. He was just in the assembly listening. And what he heard, he put into his life. Therefore, the sages of Naimasharanyak, they declared, you are the most qualified because you have heard from Shukadev Goswami in Parampara and you have realized the subject. And we can understand that by your life, by your characteristics. Roma Harshan Suta, his father was thinking, I know. Because of that pride, he didn't see a need to offer his respects to anyone. Suta Goswami begins by giving all credit and offering all honor to his superiors. That is Parampara. Srila Prabhupada would say, the only qualification I have is I'm simply repeating the words of my spiritual master. That's his feeling. That's his deep realization. Now we see there were tens and thousands of people who listened to his spiritual master. Hundreds of, there were millions of people who heard from his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there were many who had a much closer physical association. But Srila Prabhupada took those words as his life and soul. And he did what nobody else could do. What nobody else even attempted to do. But yet, his feeling is, my only qualification is I am simply repeating the words of my spiritual master. In this world, the powerful energy of envy that is so deep-seated within the conditioned soul's heart gives rise to this false pride. Srila Prabhupada explains that a devotee should simply be satisfied with what Krishna gives him and use it for the benefit of others. But a conditioned soul always wants something more. Wants what other people have. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada tells a story. In the narration of the story, Srila Prabhupada says two times, "This is a very instructive story." It's a story from Aesop's Fables, which was written for children. Hare Krishna. A children's story. It's a story that we were hearing when we were 2, 3, 4 years old from our mother. Yes? Listening to our mother read it at our bedside when we were just 3, 4 years old and less. And here is the Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, saying this is a very important, instructive story. Would you like to hear? Quoting Radha Gopinath. Srila Prabhupada tells dog philosophy. Now, please, don't think Vaishnavas don't like dogs. Vaishnavas love dogs. They love mosquitoes. They love the spirit soul in every living being's heart. But we could love dogs, but we shouldn't be dogs. Prabhupada says dog philosophy. There was a dog who worked so hard to get some food. You know how dogs have to search, sniff, 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 looking for food. And finally got some food. Big piece of food in his mouth. And he was carrying it. Going to a place where he was going to enjoy it like anything. On his way, with his mouth just holding this food, he happened to come to a small river. And he looked down into the river and saw another dog with food in its mouth. He didn't realize it was his own reflection. There was no other dog. It's an illusion. But he was thinking, there is another dog and he has food in his mouth. I want the food in that dog's mouth. So he went to jump at that other dog to grab the food out of his mouth. And in the process, he opened his own mouth and the food fell in the river. And there was nothing in the reflection. So trying to get something he didn't have from someone else, he lost what he had. Srila Prabhupada says, individually and collectively, that is the story of human civilization. We want more, more, more. We want to expand, and ultimately, in the process, because we're not happy with what we have, we lose. And he gives the example of the Roman Empire. They had so much, but they wanted what the Greeks had, and they wanted to take what so many other people had, and so many other expanding until they lost everything. They lost what they all had. The British Empire was expanding all over the world. They wanted the wealth of India, the wealth of Australia, the wealth of Africa, the wealth of America, the wealth of Canada. And ultimately, they lost everything. The German Empire, Hitler, he was controlling most all of Europe. He had it all. But he wanted Russia. He was looking at that food in the dog's mouth in the river of Russia. And he went to get it and ultimately lost everything, including his own life. Srila Prabhupada explains, when we have selfish motivations, we are impelled by nature with this dog philosophy. He says, but if we want to expand something that is of ultimate benefit for others, then we should be very aggressive to do that. And he compared this to the Krishna consciousness movement. He was striving to expand this movement. But because Krishna is unlimited, the more we give Krishna, the more Krishna gives himself. In spiritual math, in material mathematics, if you have five things and you give four away, you only have one left. Yes? But in spiritual mathematics, if you have five things and you give five things away, you have ten left. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has come to teach us this principle. How to actually access the mercy of Krishna and how to nourish what we have received so that it can expand and expand and expand in our own hearts. And how we can affect so many other people's lives with the greatest of all benedictions. That is what we are all striving for. The greatest gift that the Lord has given us is His holy names. And the association of those devotees who have a very high value toward the goal of pure love of God. Srila Sanatana Goswami speaks in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that the path to spiritual perfection is not just the association of pure devotees, but the association of people who genuinely value pure devotional service. Amongst yourselves, you may not all be Mahabhagavats, ecstatic lovers of Krishna, who have realize the ultimate perfection of the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. But if you associate with people who value that as the greatest and highest thing and who are striving for that perfection, that association will bring you to the platform of Goloka Vrindavan if we are sincere. And for this, with this understanding, we should value with such grateful hearts the association of all the assembly of devotees. It is foolish to take for granted the ordinary striving devotees and only be grateful and honor the Paramhamsa Gurus. That should be there. But the Paramhamsa Gurus are showing the way. Their mercy is there. But in order to follow them, we need each other. We need to cultivate amongst ourselves that aspiration for the highest, purest form of bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada defines pure devotee in that way also. Sometimes he defines pure devotee as one who has no material desires, who has awakened ecstatic love for Radha and Krishna. But other times, Prabhupada defines a pure devotee as one who sincerely wants that and is willing to follow the process by which one will get that. That is also pure devotee. So we must value with a grateful heart those devotees who are so rare, who want what Prabhupada has given us. Even if they're new devotees, if they want that sincerely, their association can uplift us. And we could be trying to uplift them. Today, I am sitting here hearing so many very kind, generous words. Part of me feels very much ashamed to have the audacity to sit here and listen to such things in public with cameras around. Part of me just wants to follow in the footsteps of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and just go to that latrine over there and just lock the door and be away from this. But because all of you are so sincere and you are grateful to receive Prabhupada's message and the chance to serve Prabhupada's mission, and somehow or other by Prabhupada's inconceivable arrangement, I'm able to help you in this way. Therefore, it is my service to tolerate the shame and all of that, and deeply appreciate the very, very sincere and genuine willingness I see in you to serve our Guru Maharaj, our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. Thirty-six and a half years ago, I first met Srila Prabhupada right where we're sitting today in Cross Maidan. I was just a little boy, I don't know, I was 20 years old then. And I really didn't have a specific philosophy. I was just lost in looking, searching for answers, searching for truth, searching for God. And by the inconceivable arrangement of destiny, I happened to walk right into this tent, which was the first Hare Krishna festival of India. And that evening, tens and thousands of people gathered, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting on a stage speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. That was my first connection with Srila Prabhupada. Who can understand his will? 36.5 years later, in the same place, now I'm sitting on the stage. Just trying to repeat some of his words and show my gratitude to him. And the greatest way I could show my gratitude to him is to help all of you to love Krishna and assist in his mission. Please take very seriously the essence of bhakti. To deeply absorb yourselves in chanting the holy names of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. It is the only means in this age of Kali to rise the soul to the platform of pure bhakti. Through meditation, through pranayam, through austerities, through charity, through developing knowledge of scriptures, we can attain heavenly planets. We can attain a very prosperous life in this world. We can get mystic cities. We can even attain liberation. But to attain prema bhakti, pure love, in this age of Kali, what is most essential is absorbing ourselves with sincere faith in the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. But we cannot chant the holy names in a way that will please Krishna unless we show our sincerity through our humble service attitude. Our willingness to selflessly serve, to serve the spiritual master, to serve the Vaishnavas, and to serve all living beings who are part of Krishna. When I would observe Srila Prabhupada, I would see something unbelievable. In order to dispel illusion, he could be like a general in the battlefield and just through his voice, weapons would just cut that person's illusions to pieces. But essentially, he was a very humble, respectful servant of every living being. Devotee, not devotee, anyone, even insects, He respected them. He honored what Krishna gave them and wanted to give them more of what Krishna wanted them to receive. This service attitude Prabhupada explained, it is the testimony that we are chanting sincerely. In that one purport, Srila Prabhupada tells, the test that one is chanting the holy name sincerely is that the person has a very serious enthusiasm to serve. And that means to serve selflessly, without motivations, without ulterior motives, without material expectations. But the way and the goal are so much interconnected. Because unless we practice that serious, unconditional service attitude, we cannot chant correctly either. And we must have good character. Prabhupada gave us these regulative principles so that we'll be situated in the mode of goodness. And Bhagavatam describes how from the mode of goodness you can transcend the modes of nature. Sometimes devotees, we're given something so high that we become puffed up. It's amazing, isn't it? We have such a good guru. We become puffed up and we blaspheme other people's gurus. Hare Krishna. That means you don't understand at all. We're given such a good philosophy. We think, now I have this philosophy, I could do anything. I'm transcendental. But the problem is you're not. We don't think about how I have to be in the mode of goodness in order to transcend. Because I'm chanting the holy names, I'm reading the Bhagavatam, I dress like a devotee, I'm initiated. What do I have to worry about the modes of material nature for? When Srila Prabhupada asked, how do we recognize your devotee? He said, they are perfect ladies and gentlemen. He was speaking to materialistic people. What is a lady and a gentleman? It means somebody who's in the mode of goodness. Honest. Respectful. Forgiving. Clean. Humble. In them and themselves, these are not transcendental attributes. Being compassionate to others, this is a mode of goodness. There are atheists who give billions of dollars to suffering people in charity. Who cry when they see someone suffering and want to help them. Is that transcendental? No. But it is compassion. To the body, to the mind. We must be in the mode of goodness. We must live by the mode of goodness. That means good character. But when we do that for Krishna, to please Krishna, to give Krishna, to serve Krishna, and that is connected with the 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord and worshiping the Lord, then those qualities become transcendental, transcendental compassion, transcendental humility, transcendental cleanliness and respect toward others. It's not an option. It's a necessity. It is how we will grow. It is how our movement will attract the hearts of others and grow. A person in the mode of goodness wants others to be happy. A person in the mode of passion, it's all right if others are happy as long as I get what I need. And a person in the mode of ignorance actually enjoys seeing people suffer. Hare Krishna. Enjoys criticizing others. Bring somebody else down for I can come up. That's passion and ignorance. The mode of goodness is to bring other people up. When we do this in Krishna consciousness, we are connected. We follow these 9 processes of devotional service from the platform of living with good character as perfect ladies and gentlemen. And we will attain Goloka Vrindavan. And we will bring so many other people to Goloka Vrindavan. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, of the 9 processes of devotional service, which is most important? He responded, Kirtanam. In this age of Kali, most important, the chanting of the holy name. So let us not be like the dog. They want to get more material things that other people have, and ultimately we lose the greatest thing. We lose our bhakti. We can speak many, many connections and expansions of this little fable that Prabhupada instructed us with. Criticizing others. You have bhakti. You have devotion. You've gathered so many spiritual merits through your chanting of the holy names, through your rendering of devotional service, through your austerities. Yes? But then you see someone else who has something that you're envious of, and you open your mouth to criticize them. Yes? What happens when you open your mouth to criticize them? Like the dog. You lose what you have. Srila Prabhupada specifically said that prajalpa, especially criticizing of others, it drains you. Through your mouth, it drains you of the spiritual merits that are stored within your heart and your propensity to serve and love Radha and Krishna. Today, I humbly request all of you to make Srila Prabhupada proud of you. By living by these principles. And if somehow or other I can help you to make Srila Prabhupada smile upon you, that is the perfection of my life. And I'm very honored and grateful if you allow me to do so. I thank you very much.
Let us express our wholehearted gratitude in what we just heard by loudly chanting three lines. I request all of you to stand up in your places and join us for the most blessed event of the day, Pushpanjali, which will be led by Radha Gopinath Prabhu. And thereafter, please participate wholeheartedly in the Guru Puja of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. We will offer the Pushpanjali in three installments. So whatever flower petals you have received, kindly keep it in three installments, and when I say Esha Pushpanjali, we'll offer it. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swami Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Esha Pushpanjali. Nama O. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swami Iti Namine Esha Pushpanjali. Nama O Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swami Iti Namine Esha Pushpanjali. Jai Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jaya Prabhupada.